And we move along on this Thursday afternoon. Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman back with Thursday's Topical Currents, our food and dining edition is here.
Yes, it is. This is when we're joined by chef author, syndicated columnist Linda Gassenheimer. Linda offer extols the favorite part of any meal, actually every meal, as dessert. Especially the sweet and vibrantly rich flavors, and she always seems to lean towards chocolate. Go figure. Linda, we're in your power alley with home baking ideas today and chocolate.
I don't know how you can say that about me.
We've seen you in action.
Yes, we have.
I see. Okay, whatever. Okay. Joe, this question's for you. Because you were always asking me about your pie crust. How would you like a pie crust made with rum instead of water?
I'd vote yes.
I think you would. Well, or we've got some walnut butter swirled brownies.
Ooh, I love walnuts.
Well, we're talking about home-baked treats, but with a modern twist today. And we'll also have tips for baking perfect cookies, brownies, pies, cakes, and much more. Yes, it is a dessert segment, Bonnie Berman. And giving us all this information is Irvin Lin. He's the author of Marbled, Swirled, and Layered. He's joining us from San Francisco. Welcome, Irvin Lin.
Hi there.
Hi.
Thanks for having me.
Nice to have. Well, I'm looking at your book, and we've got a studio filled with brownies and cookies
from
your book.
I'm thinking Ghirardelli.
Well,
yay.
And later on in the program, our restaurant news segment is going to be later, and I'm going to share some of my what I've seen this week's restaurant news and tips for eating out this weekend. And of course, we'd love to hear from you, our listeners. Do you have any baking questions for our expert? He's right here to give you some ideas. Give us a call. That's 800-743-9576, 800-743-WLRN.
Our email is radio@WLRN.org.
Well, Irvin, congratulations on this amazing book. It's quite different from most baking books. Tell us what the concept is.
Sure. The book is called Marbled, Swirled, and Layered. And for me, it was really about combining flavors and colors and textures in baked goods.
Okay. And that's what you've done. Just even looking at the cover of the book, it's a chocolate cake, and inside, is that marshmallow in the center?
It is. It's a marshmallow filling, yes.
Oh, wow. I love your troubleshooting tips for baking. Give us a few of your top troubleshooting tips.
So good question. I think the biggest one that I always tell people is to buy a scale for the kitchen. Which I know
unusual.
A lot of Americans, a lot of Americans are very anti-scale. They really want to stick with their volume. And there's nothing wrong with using cups and measuring spoons and that sort of thing, but you'll get a much more accurate end result if you use a scale.
And I noticed in your book that you, in addition to saying one cup of flour, you also give how many grams it is, so that if you did have a scale, you'd know how to weigh it.
I do, and I was very adamant when I was talking to my publisher writing the book that I wanted to add weights along with the volumes. And I think you can get a perfectly decent result using volumes, using regular cups and such. It's just that it's much more consistent. A cup of flour, for instance, depending on how you measure it, can range anywhere from 160 grams to 120 grams. So that's a 40-gram difference, and if you think about multiplying that out, you know, to three cups of flour, you're getting 120 grams, almost an extra cup of flour, depending on how you measure it out. So it could just be very different, the end result.
Do you have another tip for us?
I always, if you are against that or don't want to do the volume or don't want to do scales, you can get a kitchen, an oven thermometer. That's always a really great tip as well. And I love telling people this because people don't realize that their ovens can actually fluctuate in temperature. You turn on the oven 350 and you realize, you know, some people's ovens are 375, sometimes they're 325, and you have hot spots inside the oven as well. So what I always recommend people do is go out and buy a cheap loaf of bread and just line a baking sheet full of white bread, stick it in the oven at 350, and then take it out after it's been toasted and see what parts of the baking sheet actually is darker brown or lighter brown. Then you know where the hot spots are. Then you know where the hot spots are inside your oven. And then along with the oven thermometer itself, you'll understand your oven. And the better you understand your own equipment in your home, the better your end result will be.
That's a great idea, because sometimes you put the cake in the oven and half of it rises, the other half doesn't. It doesn't look so good.
Exactly.
So you know, those are two really, really great tips. Well, I noticed Bonnie's been eating away here in the studio because I made some of your recipes. Let's talk about this brownie recipe here. It's called pistachio butter fudge brownie.
Yes.
Now, Linda, you made this from scratch?
Why are you so? Did you look so surprised, Bonnie?
Well, because you're usually, dinner in minutes. So I didn't realize there are desserts for hours.
Well, desserts for deliciousness, okay?
Okay. They're really good.
Yeah, no. So I made the fudge brownies. But here's the deal. What's in the brownies is this nut butter that makes a swirl on the top. Explain how it looks. I brought it here for you to see how it looks. It's very, very pretty.
Yeah, it looks like an alluvial thing, like in the Delta. Kind
of. It looks like actually layers of earth.
Layers of earth, oh my goodness, on your brownies.
Well, I said alluvial.
Oh, you did, I'm sorry.
Well, let me tell you what it's about. So, Irvin, as you said, I used your brownie recipe, and then the nut butter is pistachio, but just to let everybody know, an honest truth, I couldn't find shelled pistachios, so I used walnuts.
Which is great, which is a great substitute.
Yeah. And
so you make the butter in the food processor?
Yeah.
Nuts and real butter?
Or? It's not butter. It's a nut butter. That's the thing, because it's made with olive oil.
So you put so it becomes nut butter.
So for me, I put about a cup and a half of the nuts in. I toasted them first because Irvin Lynn tells you to toast your nuts because in an oven or toaster oven because it brings out the flavor.
Right.
You could do cashews, I suppose, too.
Can you do
absolutely.
Cashews?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. You can do cashews, peanuts. You can do any type of nut that you want.
Okay. So then I whirled it together with the olive oil and the nuts, and then I added a cup of confection sugar, and it got almost like a liquid, thick sauce. And so you put the brownie mixture in, and then I want you to know I did this properly. That's why I'm telling you, Irvin. I put the brownie mixture in, like you said in your book, and then I put half the three-quarters of the butter mixture on top of that, and then finish the layer with the brownie mixture, and then on the top, you just dollop some of the nut mixture and take a skewer or a toothpick and just sort of swirl it around.
These are really good and moist. And
they're very nice. And, Irvin, I hope you're not going to be upset with me because while I'm doing this, I'm thinking to myself, this is a great idea. It makes the brownie look so special. What if I just used a brownie mix? I was in a hurry because Bonnie wants me to do dinner in minutes and dessert in minutes too. So, I made your nut mixture and I did that. It would be it made the brownies look really special.
Yeah, no, I personally always make things from scratch, mostly because I'm a little OCD and I kind of like to know what goes into my baked goods and what goes into my food. But I have no problems with other people taking shortcuts or people, using a box mix or whatever they're comfortable with. And I'll be honest myself, one of the reasons I made this cookbook is I tend to be a little bit, it sounds weird, but I tend to be a little bit lazy in the kitchen. I think that's a weird thing for me to say as somebody who made some of these recipes are kind of complicated, but are ambitious. But I do tend to be, I like to take shortcuts. And for me, certain things like swirling a nut butter through brownies, regardless of how you make the brownies, you make a really super fancy looking dessert with very minimal effort. And that for me is kind of a win.
Exactly. That's great. And then we have here some orange chocolate chip and mocha reverse cookies. And they are complicated, but what I wanted to talk about here, Joe, you're eating all of them. They're huge. They're about 5 inches wide. Because you put baking soda in them?
I think I have baking soda and baking powder in them as well. I have both.
So it spreads.
What's the science of that?
They react in different ways. So baking powder has a built-in, they're both chemical leaveners, which means they add air to the baked goods. But baking powder itself has a, an acid in it already, so it reacts in it by itself. But it's less powerful than the baking soda. Baking soda needs an acid in the actual batter or dough, and the acid comes from the brown sugar.
Oh, I see. Well, the other thing, just before we go to the break, I want to say, you don't like using chocolate chips, the kind of things we buy in the supermarket that's already chipped. You had me cut up pieces of chocolate.
And so I did.
Give us a quick answer on that. Why?
Yeah, so I prefer doing big chunks of chocolate because actual chocolate chips are designed to not melt at high temperatures. They're designed to hold their heat.
Exactly.
So you don't get that gooiness that you get when you chop up chunks. And the chopped chunks also just look prettier. So I really like to bite into a cookie and have that gooiness that happens.
I have to tell you, I'm sorry this isn't television, because Bonnie's sitting here eating this up and nodding her head. Yes, yes, yes. Bonnie, you're eating the chocolate? You get the chocolate there?
I have the chocolate.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a break. I'm Linda Gassenheimer on Topical Currents. We're talking about homemade treats with Irvin Lin. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be back with more. And we're back. I'm Linda Gassenheimer. I'm on Topical Currents with Bonnie Berman and Joe Cooper. We've been talking with Irvin Lin about homemade treats with a modern twist, and he's been giving us some troubleshooting tips for perfect baked goods, ideas on how we can doctor up some of our baked goods. By the way, WLRN's Facebook page has live video of all the cookies and the brownies we're talking about. So in each week at 12:15, we're going to be having this live video of who's been on.
I think this is your best meal ever. Irvin, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Bonnie thinks I'm the one who loves desserts.
Irvin, you can go to that Facebook page and see how she did on the baking.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. It looks great.
Oh, she's looking at it now, so everyone else can look at it now, too. Well, I want to talk about a fun event for a very good cause that's going to be this Friday night. The Diabetes Research Institute, it's called Out of the Kitchen, and it's going to be 20 of South Florida's top chefs. They're going to be cooking tableside, so if you're at that table, the chef will cook with you at the table, and it's going to be at the St. Regis Hotel, and all the proceeds go to benefit the cure. Focused work of the Diabetes Research Institute, and they are doing some wonderful work. So that's a wonderful event
that's
to know
That's kind of
about.
Your specialty, diabetes.
Diabetes, right. Yes, well, it's a third of our nation. Mm. We need to get off. We need to get this. We need to have them come up with a cure, and they're working on
it. I'm trying to avoid it.
Well, keep working on that. Well, it's time for our restaurant segment, and this week I thought I'd share some of my own restaurant news. The Diplomat Beach Resort in Hollywood has just completed a $100 million renovation, and it's just amazing what they've done there. The resort extends from the Atlantic right through to the Intercoastal Waterway, and they have several restaurants. One is the Point Royal, and I don't know if you've heard of Jeffrey Zakarian. He's on television. He's a celebrity chef. Bonnie's nodding her head.
Yeah, I think from you I've heard of him, though.
Yeah, okay, good. Well, his restaurant's Point Royal, and it kind of concentrates on seafood. It's a very nice restaurant. And another restaurant there is called Diplomat Prime, and that's a boutique steakhouse, and they age their own prime beef, so it's really...
It's Jackie Gleason's big hangout.
Is it?
The Diplomat was.
All right. Yeah. Well, it's looking beautiful. I don't think Jackie Gleason would recognize it. some other restaurants, that this Bristol Burgers. One I think is really cute if you go there with kids, especially, or you've come with me, I'd love it. It's called Candy and Cones. And that's for ice cream. They churn their own ice cream on site. They make their own ice cream. And they have a classic soda fountain. So if you're looking for a resort close to home, you might want to check this one out. One more restaurant, if you're looking for a small Italian wine bar, Baccaro is just off Lincoln Road and on Michigan. It specializes in Venetian home cooking and has an excellent wine selection. Chef Carlo Bernardini is from Venice, and he's worked at some of the top restaurants. So you might want to try his polpettini meatballs. They're wonderful little Italian meatballs. They're really good. But the other thing they have is a very, very good wine bar.
I have a restaurant I tried this week that I loved. It's probably, maybe I'm really behind the times, Essentia at the Palms Hotel.
Well, that's a very good restaurant. It's a lot farm-to-table kind
of. It's all farm-to-table.
Yes. And they keep changing their menu, so it doesn't matter if it's old or new news.
And it's great, a great wine list.
Yes, and it's a beautiful spot.
It's so beautiful, and it's very romantic. You can sit outside by the pool. You probably have about another 3 hours left in the spring to do that before the mosquitoes in summer come. But it's really a very nice.
Oh, good tip. Thank you very much. Okay, dinner in minutes. We've been talking about doctoring up recipes. So I have a five-minute doctored up dinner for you. And it's we're doctoring up rotisserie chicken. And it's called maple pecan chicken with hot pepper succotash. This is really easy. So if you buy rotisserie chicken or you buy any kind of cooked chicken breast or maybe have some leftover from some meal you had the night before, you put it in the skillet to warm up for a couple of minutes. Then you mix some maple syrup and canola oil together and just pour that over the chicken and sprinkle it with pecans. Very simple. And for the side dish, the succotash, I have frozen corn kernels, frozen lima beans. I put them in a bowl and mix it with some hot pepper jelly and microwave it for 3 minutes.
You don't seem like a succotash devotee, but...
I don't know what to say about that. It's a very delicious meal.
Are there any?
Well, I'm from Missouri. We do those things.
Well, okay. Oh. All right. Do you use frozen food?
No,
knew you wouldn't do that. Well, this is Dinner in Minutes, and don't forget, all of my Dinner in Minutes fit the government guidelines for nutrition. That's just another little added thing.
Speaking of diabetes, all these brownies and cookies here. My blood sugar's soaring, I'm sure.
But you know what? I've written a book called No Fuss Diabetes Desserts. You can have dessert. It's the portions. It's the amount. And that's what makes
the
difference.
That's the trouble.
Well, you don't have to be healthy. Okay, if you want this recipe and a photo, dinnerinminutes.com. And again, watch our live Facebook video. And then follow me on Twitter. That's at L. Gassenheimer. Let's go back to Irvin. Irvin, they've been gobbling up all these cookies and brownies I made here. And they're just loving them. So tell us some other things about your book. I know another point I wanted to bring out. You have a section on gluten-free cooking. And you show us how to make gluten-free a flour mix. How do you do that?
Yeah, so it's very difficult to actually make a direct one-to-one mix or a one-to-one flour for all-purpose flour. So what you need to do is you actually need to make a blend. And there are a lot of commercial blends already available. So Cup for Cup is a very popular one. Bob's Red Mill makes a one-to-one measurement as well. And they both work fairly well in terms of swapping out one-to-one or cup for cup, exactly as it sounds. But if you wanted to go ahead and make your own mixes, you can do that as well. And usually the mixes that I do is a mix of some starches, which include tapioca starch and a sweet glutinous rice flour, and then also some whole grains. So that's white rice flour, millet flour, and brown rice flour. Mm-hmm. And those are all listed in my gluten-free conversions.
Well, that sounds great. Now, I want to ask you another question about chocolate, since we're all gorging ourselves on chocolate today.
Sure.
Now, if a recipe calls for, let's say, bittersweet chocolate or a semi-sweet chocolate, does it matter? Is there, when you're baking, would it make a difference other than flavor?
It depends on the actual recipe itself, like how you're using it. So if you're melting the chocolate and putting it into the batter, it might make a little bit of a difference, but honestly, I don't think there's that much of a difference. Semi-sweet tends to be a little sweeter than bittersweet. So if you have more of a sweet tooth, go with semi-sweet. If you prefer that sort of dark, bitter edge that bittersweet gives you, then go with that. It shouldn't make that much of a difference, and it definitely doesn't make a difference if you're chopping it up and putting it in chocolate chip cookies. That's more of a preference.
Okay. Well, that's good advice. Now, I want to get back to this pie crust. You put alcohol, you mix alcohol and water. So what does that do to the pie crust?
Yeah, so when you add any water to flour, you're creating gluten. And gluten is the sort of stretchiness that also makes things, it's what's in bread that makes bread chewy. But it also makes pie crust a little bit more tough. So if you add the alcohol inhibits the gluten from forming, so you have a more tender crust. And if you add things like rum or bourbon, which I've done in the past, you can add flavor as well to the crust. And I'm a big proponent of just adding flavor in whatever component that you're doing, whether it's the pie crust or the filling or the topping.
So does that mean if you add bourbon to a pie crust, it's gluten-free?
No.
No, because you still have
flour.
Still have water.
Oh, flour. I thought you said it took up the gluten. Yeah. Okay.
It takes off some of the gluten. So you're not activating as much of the gluten, but you still have gluten in there.
But what you are saying is if we add alcohol and you do it like half water, half alcohol, that we're going to have a more tender pie crust?
Yes. It'll be more tender and it'll be more flaky. Yes.
Wow. Okay. That sounds interesting. But you have to get to make sure that it's cold, right? I mean, the alcohol has to be cold.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I would. It doesn't matter as much when you're using alcohol, but I do tend to chill my my dough because you do get more flakes.
Okay.
You want the butter to be cold.
Yes, we could talk more and more, but we're out of time. Thank you, Irvin Lin, for this great information.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
His book is Marbled, Swirled, and Layered, and it's really a fun read and very interesting information. Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman. Nice to be with you today.
Yes, and thanks for the cooking. Thank you, too, Irvin.
Okay.
Yes, thank you so much.
Well, next week, we'll be talking with Colleen Adams. She's the director of Vibe 305, and she works with some of the youth in their food truck program for inner-city youths. I'm Linda Gassenheimer. Join me then.
Topical Currents lead producer is Richard Ives. Technical direction and online feature production from Jason Zabka. Polly Landis is associate producer. As always, we have whole programs from our website, or you can link them to a friend also. Also, the iTunes podcast and more info on the Topical Currents Facebook page.
I'm going to call Jason Daryl Zanuck from now on, Feature Productions.
Bonnie and I return Monday. We'll speak with University of Miami History Professor Gregory Bush for both a career profile in a discussion of his decision to leave our region and move back to northern climes. Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman, Linda Gassenheimer, thanks for making public radio your companion today. Stay tuned for Here and Now, next from NPR News.